636-8686. But we start hour number two by talking to an analyst for NFL Network. 8 years as an NFL scout. You can follow him on Twitter at Move the Sticks. He is host of the Move the Sticks podcast along with Bucky Brooks. He is a three-on-three legend. He is a good friend of the program, and he has got a lot of information to share. Daniel Jeremiah is my guest. DJ, good to have you back. How are you?
How you doing, Ro, man? It's nice. Football season, it's almost here, man. We made it.
It is your time of year. NFL camps, DJ, starting to open up today. You've got rookies reporting for the Cardinals, the Ravens, the Seahawks, and both rookies and vets reporting for the Broncos. How excited do you get this time of year?
Oh, it's just so fun, man. I'm like, you do top five lists and you can do predictions, but like, look, everybody's just talking out of their butt. Like, let's see these guys on the field and find out who's going to be good this year. That's when the fun starts.
Man, that is true. Everybody is talking out their butt right about now. Daniel Jeremiah joining us. All right, so from a team perspective, how important is it for the teams and what they're hoping to accomplish this time of year?
Well, I think it's huge. I think when you look at the last CBA, and the coaches obviously complain about this all the time, but just they don't have as much time on the grass. So you've got to make the most of it. And talking to guys around the league, there's a lot more joint practices that are going to take place this year. We're seeing that trend really kind of crank up, and personally, I love it. You know, when you go watch the Chargers and the Saints practice together for several days, that's good work for both sides, and you're seeing different schemes and different players, and that to me is where you get the most meaningful work during training camp.
All right, so let's get into some of the players. If you're the Arizona Cardinals, for instance, and you've got Kyler Murray reporting today, what are you hoping to see from him between now and the season opener against Detroit?
Well, I think you're looking to see, can he adapt to the speed? And obviously we know how athletic he is, but just playing with better players as he's done from high school through college, he had time. He had time in the pocket, and if he wanted to be able to work deep into a progression or just wait for guys like Hollywood Brown to uncover down the field, he had that luxury. Now he's going to find out with the guys he's playing against and some of the weaknesses he has on his own team that's going to have to really, really speed up. So that, to me, is going to be the challenge for him to get some live reps and get out there and really kind of crank things up and get adjusted to the speed. I think he'll be able to do it, Jim, but it is going to be an adjustment for him.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us. Now, I want to get to your position prototype series in just a moment, but earlier this month, you tweeted out your top five MVP candidates for this year. Carson Wentz was at the top of the list. DJ, lay that out for me. Why do you like him as an MVP candidate this year?
Well, really a couple things. Number one, you look at the fact that when he was, you know, had that healthy run during the Super Bowl year until he got hurt, he was the front runner for the MVP. So I've seen him play at an MVP level. You look at some of the pieces that they've added around him. I think DeSean Jackson coming back to kind of complement what you have with an Alshon Jeffrey, with an Ertz, with a Dallas Goedert, who's a young emerging player. I think they have the pieces around him for him to be successful. And then really the last part of it is there's a motivation there. I mean, I know people say, oh, these guys are motivated. No, look, when you've heard, you know, the whispers from some of the people saying, hey, you know, look, Nick Foles was the one who hoisted the trophy. You know, can Carson do that? Can he lead us there? He hasn't done it yet through the postseason. So I think you see a guy that's really, really motivated, just got paid. And I think he's going to go out there and earn it this year.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us once again. Now, one of the ongoing stories during the offseason has been the Dallas Cowboys and the decisions that they have to make when it comes to contracts with Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and Amari Cooper. DJ, if you're the Cowboys, how would you go about prioritizing those three players?
Well, I mean, I had to look it up the other day to see what would happen if Dak Prescott wasn't there. And I'm not all that fired up about that prospect. So to me, I'm starting with the most important position, and I'm gonna get Dak Prescott done. He's shown enough. To me, there's enough of a track record there. You look at some of the big moments. He's got a bunch of comeback wins. He's been in the postseason. I think that you've seen enough to build around him. And you're not gonna feel great about the contract you give him right now. You're gonna say, man, I probably overpaid a little bit. And then you're going to fast forward a year from now, and you're going to be like, yeah, that's actually a pretty good deal because the quarterback numbers are just going to continue to climb. That being said, I do think Zeke is different than any other running back in the league right now in terms of his value. You know, where a guy like Melvin Gordon, if he wants to hold out, I don't know that that's going to end well for him, because I think the Chargers would kind of move on and have, feel comfortable with what they have. But when you watch the Cowboys, and the numbers back it up, Elliott draws a safety more than anybody else. He draws a loaded box, which does benefit everybody else around him. And the drop-off from Elliott to what's behind him is pretty significant. So while I would start with the quarterback because it's the most important position, you've got to get both those guys taken care of. I don't think the Cowboys are going anywhere if they're missing one of the two.
Daniel Jeremiah, my guest. All right, so stay on the quarterback. You and Bucky have been doing a position prototype series on the Move the Sticks podcast. Like, when you evaluate quarterbacks, you've talked to other experts like Kurt Warner, Mike Holmgren, David Carr. What are the qualities that make up a prototypical quarterback?
Well, I mean, there's certain things that they all have in common, and I start with really kind of the big three. And that's, you're talking about poise, you're talking about accuracy, and you're talking about decision-making. If that's the foundation you build upon, you've got a pretty good start there. Now, when we talked about it, it was fun having those kind of nuanced discussions with those guys, because I don't think, you know, some people say arm strength does not matter. Well, it does. I mean, if you can't throw the ball more than 20 yards, you can't play quarterback. You've got to have the line. You've got to have enough arm strength. You've got to have enough mobility. But then those other three are the foundation which you build upon. And you talk to guys like Mike Holmgren, who've seen so many great ones come through there. They all do share those things in common, and there's some other things that make them unique, but that's where you start.
Now, of those three things, of course, size was not mentioned. The phrase prototypical size gets used quite a bit. But when you were with the Ravens, you did a study of great quarterbacks. How much did greatness come down to size? And you mentioned arm strength. And then how much did it come down to something else? Like, how important was size?
It wasn't. It wasn't a factor. And, you know, you kind of look through even some of the great quarterbacks. And you've, look, Jim, you've stood next to Joe Montana. You saw if you didn't recognize the face and you saw Joe Montana's body in the mall, you wouldn't know if he worked there or if he was a Hall of Fame quarterback shopping there. So it has nothing to do with the size component. But when you look at the skills, that's the on-the-field stuff. And then I go back to a conversation I had with Steve Young when we were talking about quarterbacks many, many years ago. And I asked him, you know, in your opinion, what's that one defining trait for the great ones like yourself? And he said it's those guys that step into a huddle and have that competitiveness and that drive to say, over my dead body, are we going to lose this football game? And when he said that, Tom Brady's the first name that came into my mind. Like, those guys have a little something different inside of them.
And then on top of that list, you had poise. And we're talking about that, too, of course. When you look at the guys playing quarterback right now, who are the quarterbacks who have the most poise?
Wow, that's a good one. You know, sometimes I think we think of poise and we think of somebody, you know, Tom Brady's a great image of that because he's so poised and comfortable and calm in the pocket. I actually think Russell Wilson, even though he moves around a lot, there's a poise that even when there's some chaos around him and he's on the move, he's never out of control. He's always in control of his situation, no matter how busy it gets around him. And that's, again, that's that thing that all those great quarterbacks have. It might look a little bit different, but there's a calm amidst the storm. And to me, Russell Wilson's a great example of somebody like that.
Daniel Jeremiah joining us for a couple of more moments. All right, so DJ, what about the running back position? What does it take to be a prototypical running back? What are the attributes required to be great at that position?
Again, good question, Jim. And talking to guys, we talked with Terrell Davis, you know, Hall of Famer, and Maurice Jones-Drew. We had some great conversations. And really, to me, you've got to start with vision, because if you're the biggest, fastest, strongest guy and you run in the back of your offensive lineman, it does me no good. So having that vision is where you start. It's a good instinctive position. You've got to have a feel for it. So those are things you got to have. And then to me, I look at it, it's pretty simple. We don't need to make it complicated. Can you run inside with power and finish runs? Do you have enough juice to get to the perimeter to run outside? And then what it comes down to is you're going to have a free man. It doesn't matter if you're running inside, outside, there's going to be a free man. And can you get by that free man by either making him miss, running through him, running away from him? That's where the great running backs differentiate themselves. The play gets you so many yards, and then it's you versus another human being, and can you get past him? That's what it is.
All right, DJ, you are a San Diego County legend. Earlier this month, you ran in the 4th of July 5K on Coronado Island. How'd that go for you? Did you hold your own?
Oh man, I thought I was doing okay, Jim. Went down there, ran with my daughter. She runs track, so she was so far out of sight. I didn't see her finish. She was so far ahead of me. But I got to about the last half mile, and I'm like, okay, I've got a little left. It's time to get the kick. So I engaged the kick, and I think, okay, now we've taken it up a notch. And about that time, I think there were two 8-year-olds that went just smoking past me, and that was a very humbling experience. My goal, though, was a finish, and if I could beat anybody that was pushing the stroller, like I can't have the stroller go by me because that's defeating. But I never had the 8-year-old thing in my mind, and I think that was actually worse.
Yeah, not the 8-year-old thing in your mind, and it was 2 8-year-olds who blew right by you. Are you going to drop a time on me? What did you finish in?
Sure. I ran it a couple years ago and was like 25 and change. This one was right at 28 minutes, maybe a little over 28 minutes. So I was under the 10-minute mile. I mean, that's embarrassing. You got to get under that, right? So I think it was like 9 and change in terms of the mile average, but... I got there, and I was way too tired for having run such a short distance.
Nah, you're good, DJ. If you're under 30 minutes, I would imagine you're good. All right, last thought. As long as we're talking San Diego, you have carved out a reputation evaluating NFL players. What is your evaluation, though, of Padres shortstop Fernando Tatis Jr.?
Oh, he's a freak show, man. Look, as a Padres fan, I don't know what it says about us, but like him getting out of a pickle the other day was like the best thing I've ever seen. He's just, to be that young and to have that combination of skills and instincts, it's just stupid. I don't know if you saw it the other day. I saw Eric Burns, who I love on MLB Network. Like, he went on like a 5-minute, just went off on how much he loves this kid and how special he is. So, we're not going to win anything anytime soon, but that kid's going to be fun to watch for a very long time.
This is a huge Burnsy house. We love Eric Burns here, and I know exactly what you're talking about. You mean when he went back to first and went all Matrix with it to avoid the tag? So good.
Yeah, stupid. I don't know how you bend like that.
Yeah, I didn't think anybody could. But if anybody can, he can. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst, 8 years as an NFL scout. You want to make sure you're following him on Twitter at Move the Sticks, and host of the Move the Sticks podcast along with Bucky Brooks. DJ, really appreciate you. Thank you so much. Great job.
Appreciate you, Jim. See you soon, bud.
You too, Daniel. He is awesome. Always awesome. Daniel Jeremiah fired up for this time of year.